Hello, I am not Pastor Guy. He's on vacation, as Ron said. So I'm taking this opportunity to step out and try this again. The second time around is just as scary as the first time around. But let's pray and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to come here tonight for these people and be the mouthpiece for what you want them to hear tonight, God. And I ask that they hear your Holy Spirit and not my voice. Let it speak to them. Let them take something from it and use it to better for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, quick question for everybody. Who has ever been to the airport and flown before? Anybody? I love to fly. I love takeoffs. I love the landings. I love everything about it. I love to people watch when I get to the airport because some people do some funny things when they know you're not looking at them. But the only thing I really hate about it is dropping off my baggage at the beginning and hoping and praying that it's there for me when I get to my location. I guess that's why I'm one of those packers that'll pack everything he can into his carry-on so I don't have to do that. I don't know if it's trusting somebody, a stranger, with my luggage and my possessions, or just waiting and hoping that it's there. But the baggage that I want to talk about tonight isn't material things. It's the struggles that we carry around, the negatives, and also the positives and the talents and the gifts that God has given us. So tonight, hopefully we prepare you for your next flight in life, and we can hopefully give that baggage to God forever. Our verse tonight that we're going to use is Luke 9, verses 23 and 24. But before I read it, I'll give you a little bit of background to where we're at in the Bible right now. Jesus had just finished his miracle where he fed the 5,000 people with the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he was sitting around talking with his disciples, and he asked Peter, "Who do you think I am? Who do people think that I am?" And he said that he believed Jesus was God's Messiah. As they're talking, Jesus went on to say his plans for his death coming up, and that he would be resurrected on the third day. And he leaves them with this. "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it.'" Excuse me. Now that verse is all about surrender. Jesus wants everything in our life, the negatives, the positives, everything we have to offer, he wants us to give it to him. And recently I read a book called All In by Mark Batterson. It's a great book. And the title is a dead giveaway on how he thinks we should live our life for Jesus, All In. He talks that people have an All In moment where they decide enough's enough, I'm going to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. My all-in moment came in high school. I was in 10th grade, and I was at an international youth convention in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a week-long conference. They have the biggest name speakers come in, the biggest bands, and they come in, and we just have a great conference learning and growing and celebrating Jesus. And all week, it was going great. Energy was high, and you know, you're growing and stuff. And they would do the altar call, and there was something missing that I could tell, but I never got up to go down there. And I was just nervous. I was scared that people were going to judge me for, you know, not making that decision. Because I grew up in church. My grandpa, my uncle, they were both pastors. So it was kind of expected that you're going to take that decision as well, but I had never done it for myself. And before we went to the last service, I was talking with my counselor, and he shared a story out of John chapter 5 about the healing at the pool. And there was this pool that every time the water stirred, whoever was sick or hurt could go into this pool and they would be healed. And there was a paralyzed man that would lay there. And every time the water stirred, he couldn't make it there first. And he had nobody to help him to get there. So as Jesus was walking by one day, he said, "Do you not want to be healed?" And the guy's like, "I have nobody to put me into the pool." And Jesus said, "You know, just get up, walk, and you're healed." So we went to service, and the whole time I was thinking about this story that he shared with me, and I couldn't tell you what the speaker was speaking about or who it even was. I just thought about that whole thing. And they gave the altar call at the end, and I just started to cry. And I was like, I have to do this for myself. So I grabbed my counselor and went to the back room, and I said, "You know, I need that pool. I need Jesus to heal me." And he said, "Well, he can definitely do that." So I gave my life to the Lord there that night. And as I think back on it, I realize I wasn't like the crippled man. I was surrounded by family, counselors, a church that was loving and showed me what Jesus was all about. And they were willing to help me through anything that I would ever go through. And that's my cry for our church, that people can come in and not have to worry about their daily lives. They can just be with us and be with God and know Christ's love. So back to the airport scene. As I said before, I do love to people watch. It's just one of the things I like to do. I do it when my wife goes shopping. I do it all the time. But I watch the people's luggage that they bring around, and there's a variety of luggages. I mean, there's some that are all fancy, and you can wheel them around on wheels, and there's hard ones, there's small ones, big ones, all kinds of ones. But I am the person, like I said, that crams everything into the backpack, and I'm good for a week. My wife, on the other hand, could pack all this luggage up here and be good for a day or two. Sorry, man. but that's all material things. And like I said, I want to talk about the negative things that people could be struggling with, that they go through in their everyday lives. Now, some of those struggles, they can probably hit home with some of us tonight, and we choose to hide them into the smallest baggage that we can find so that we're giving off this persona that we're okay. We don't want to let anybody in, but I'm telling you, God already knows. He knows every struggle that you have, so no matter where you put it, no matter how tightly away you pack it, he already knows. And there's nothing more than he wants to save us and take that burden from us, because he is more than able to to solve anything that we could ever go through. There's a story in the Bible that I think takes away this message, and I find it in chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. It's about the prostitute. Now the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was at Bethany, reclining at the table in a home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of these present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured the perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Now see, this lady is a prostitute by her profession and has sinned and is living in sin, and she decides that she's going to turn, deny herself, and take up her cross for Jesus. The only way she knows how to do this is to take what's most important in her life and give it to Jesus. That alabaster jar was critical to her profession. It's how she got clients. It's how she kept clients. And not only did she pour the entire thing on Jesus, she broke it. She didn't just put a few drops on, though she probably did. She broke the entire jar and gave it all to him. And that means she's not going to be able to turn back because her jar is broken. There's no turning back for her. She has to do what she wants to do, and she's going to follow Jesus. What baggage are you holding on to that you won't give to Jesus? What are you trying to hide that he already knows about? All you got to do is give him your baggage. Now, I'm sure whenever I say the word baggage, people automatically think of it negatively. But that's not always the case. When I was dating my wife and we were doing long-distance relationship, I had to take her presents for anniversaries and birthdays and stuff in my baggage. And I don't think she would consider that a negative baggage thing. I hope not, anyways. But these would be like talents and gifts that God has given us to use, and hopefully we give it all to him. And these are just some of the many gifts that God has blessed us with. They could be some on these paper, or they could be something else that you're talented in. But God gave you that. And when we see in our verse that we must deny ourselves, it doesn't just mean that the parts we're willing to give up or the parts we want to get rid of. It says ourself, which means everything. All the positives, all the negatives, everything surrendered to him. There's another story in the Bible that I think takes all these and puts into play. And we see this with the story of Elijah. And he made his living as a farmer, and he had 12 yoke of oxen, and he was very successful at it. But he decided that he was going to live our verse out in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. So Elijah went from there and found Elijah, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and give it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. Can you imagine that? Giving up everything you've ever known, your job, your family, your means of income, everything, and just following God. He's not getting those oxen back from those people that ate it. He's not getting his plows back. There's no turning back for him. But he was willing to give up everything, deny himself fully, and follow Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we need to quit our jobs and leave our families and do that, but we have to be willing to surrender to God and let him use us how he chooses. And we have a huge opportunity coming up with this new building. People are going to come check out that building. What will they find when they get there? Will they find people that keep Jesus as the center focus? Will they say that Christ's love is definitely in those people there? That's why they'll stay. They're not going to stay because of a building. They'll stay because the people love Jesus there and they feel at home there. I was listening to K-Love radio station a month ago at work. And they took a poll on what people were looking for when they come to a new church. Top two reasons. One, authenticity. And two, a sense of home and family. And that's exactly what I want our church to be. I want those people to come through those doors, drop off their baggage, not have to worry about how they look, what they're struggling with. Just come and know that they're in the presence of Jesus. Let them worry about nothing else but hearing what God wants to tell them that night. Those positives that I told you about, I pray that you just give them over to God and let him use it in the new church. Let him use it in the new building for his glory. Even if you don't think you have much to offer, somebody coming through that door, something as big as, "Hello, thank you for joining us at One Life," could be all they need to hear that night. That's all they need. And it's crucial that we have that job to do. Will you help me? Will you help me do that when we move to that new building? And before then, if you see a new person, don't let them go without saying hello. Make them feel welcome, that they can let their guard down and hear what God wants them to hear. So let's take a look back at our verse one more time. Luke 9. Verses 23 and 24. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." Tonight we've seen we must deny ourselves, and that means everything. Our negatives, our positives, our talents, our gifts. Jesus wants it all. And at that moment, we surrender, we'll be at peace. One last thing. Think back to the airport scene. How many of you When you're coming back and you're coming down the escalators, you see the people with the white signs. Usually the fancy people will get picked up at the airport, whatever. All they have to do is follow that person. They don't have to worry about their baggage. The only thing they have to do is find that person and go. That's it. And I just want that for you guys. Jesus is there. He's holding the sign. He knows what you're struggling with. He wants to be at the baggage claim for you. All you got to do is find that sign with him and go. That's all he wants. Now, if you've never given your baggage to him before and you want to, that's incredible. I just ask that you grab like me or Ron or George or somebody and just pray after service and give that baggage over to him. And if you have done that before, that's awesome. I just ask that you keep this move in prayer and ask God that how can you be used to glorify him once we move into this new building? Because he wants you involved. He wants you to use those gifts for his glory. That's my last thought. He's holding that sign. Just follow him. Let's pray as the worship team comes forward. Dear God, thanks again for this opportunity. I ask that my words tonight ring with somebody. Let them take them and think about them and pray about them and let them sink in, God. And I know we have a huge move coming up with the building, and this community needs us, God, needs you. Let us do your work and give you all the glory that we can. In Jesus' name, amen.